You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a Friday episode of Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, official podcast of HockeyFights.com. Our next guest has never been in a hockey fight as far as I know, which is rare for guests on the show. Usually we like to have guys on who are somewhat tough. And this is two for two with guys from the Detroit Red Wings now, because the other guest we had on also had never been in a hockey fight, Moritz Seider, which is disappointing for the way he plays. But this guy, I kind of get it. He is a goal scorer, which we'll touch on in a little bit, but he is also a goalie. So Alex N, welcome to the show. Thank you, Alex.
No problem. Thank you guys for having me. You can call me Ned too, if that's easier.
Ned, hey, what about Ned? You got Nick Leddy on the team. What do you call Ned? You guys go Ned and Led or Leddy?
We call him Leds, Lead Pipe. I don't know. Lead Pipe seems to be the one that sticks around.
I played with him in Chicago, and I used to think Marion Gabrick had big thighs until I met Nick Leddy. It's unbelievable how big his legs are. But yeah, it's just – anyways, Nick Leddy has been brought up in the podcast, so we're good there. So, Alex, you just beat the Boston Bruins 2-1. Tim is a big Bruins fan. Like, he's from South Boston. He's friends with Rob Gronkowski. He is a Bruins insider. He's honestly plugged into the Bruins. How good was it to beat the Bruins? So, you know, it was a big game in the standings. They kind of whacked your PP a little bit the game before. How did that feel to come back and really have a good game versus them?
Yeah, that was great. I think you said it was, they kind of shellacked us a bit there, threw us around a bit last time we were there. And it was only like maybe 2.5 weeks prior to Tuesday. So like coming back on the road, you know, I forget the numbers exactly, but I don't think that the team has a good record in the recent history against the Bruins. So obviously to get a win like that, to grind it out, I know they had like 40 some shots or whatever, but we really didn't give them much of anything. Like, it was a pretty dominant, I'm not gonna say dominant, but it was a solid defensive effort by us. Like I said, they had, I could count maybe like almost on one hand, like the quality scoring chances that they had. So it was awesome to kind of get a win like that. And then to follow it up, you know, last night and in a shootout victory at home, you know, it's great. And I want to correct you too. I have gotten in a fight, my rookie year in Florida. Yeah. We had a line brawl in the playoffs. It was game three in the first round, and we were down 2-0 in the series. We're down 3-0 in game three. And, something happened. There was like a whistle, and their goalie was like kind of like running his mouth the whole time. I forget his name, but like he'd been running his mouth like all series, and we had played them three times prior.
What does it mean when a goalie runs his mouth? Because he, like, how do you know he's running his mouth?
I assume he's running his mouth because after every stoppage of play, he's like getting in somebody's face, or he's like shoving somebody. Like, you get up and you shove somebody, and you like kind of put your helmet in their face. So like,
yeah,
that's what I would assume he's probably saying something. Otherwise it'd probably be pretty awkward if you just shoved your face in the guy's face and didn't say nothing. But like, so he went up to like probably the toughest guy on our team too, and decided to just like, I don't know, do something like just push him or whatever, like nudge him. And this guy saw red and just kind of started like grabbing him, going after it. And then somebody slew footed or like slide tackled or like tackled somebody else in the neutral zone. So all like stuff went to hell. And I just remember like, I was like, screw it. We're down three nothing in the series at this point, the way the game was going. So I'm like, I'm going, like, I'm just went, dropped my stuff. And there's a video of it or like a GIF or something somewhere where I come flying into the picture on top of a pile, and I like Superman dove on top of the pile.
That was you. So
that was me, yeah.
No kidding. So did you ever get your hands on the goalie?
I never did. No, he was at the bottom of the pile. And by the time I was like, I finally like kind of like got my wits about me, I think I got pulled off by the ref. So,
so in the box score, does it say you got five for fighting?
I don't know.
So we'll leave it at maybe.
I don't know. Potentially.
Maybe you got it.
Potentially.
Fight.
Maybe.
That's pretty funny. What's going through your head? Because that's when goalies fight, you have to skate 200 feet. Like, what are you thinking? Yeah. You're like, okay, glove blocker off, helmet off, Superman. Like, that's my only option.
Yeah, I honestly, I don't really recall what I was thinking. Because I was just like, the adrenaline got to me. Like, I was just, I don't know, I wanted to do something. I wanted to hit somebody. Like, it wasn't going well for me. I was having a pretty below average rookie season as a professional. And I obviously, we were down 3-0 and I wasn't playing too hot in the series itself. So I was like, I just needed to like let some frustration out. And the Superman dive probably wasn't the smartest thing, because I ended up like knocking my front two teeth on like somebody's helmet or something. I didn't knock him out, but like,
yeah,
I chomped down on my lip a little bit. Like, I ended up like realizing I was bleeding after everything was said and done. And I'm like, how am I bleeding right now? Because I didn't punch anybody really. Nobody punched me. And then when I went back and re-looked at the clip, I see myself like knock my head off somebody's ass or something.
Alex knocks himself out jumping onto the box.
Yeah.
Just on the ice. Oh, that's funny. Good for you though, getting in the mix. I like that. Well, whatever you did, it must have worked, because the next year you got called up to the Charlotte Checkers, or made the team at a camp, I should say. Mm-hmm. And slowly but surely you worked yourself into the lineup with the Carolina Hurricanes. Tell us about the first couple experiences getting called up. I know your first experience, you got thrown in after Eduardo get shelled or something. You came in and then
Eduardo got pulled. Yeah. My rookie year, Eduardo got pulled. I got called up, just to back up for a game. I think Mike Layton was the backup at the time, but he hadn't played in forever. So they wanted to give him like a little conditioning stint. So they just flip flopped us for a quick day, and it was in Columbus too. So it's kind of cool to, I actually had family in the game just in case, you know? And, so yeah, Eduardo ended up getting pulled like right about halfway through when I went in, and it was honestly really cool to make my debut, you know, in Columbus. And I actually got to see, I saw my folks. They were like one of the first people I spotted in the stands, when I went in. So it was actually kind of awesome to see them and see them after and talk, which was great. And I actually did pretty well. That was probably the best game I played all year, because I went 17 for 17. So, yeah,
you played great in that. You didn't get up a goal. You're from Ohio. We didn't mention that. So playing in Columbus was a big deal. What was it like, you know, because there's no NHL franchise in Ohio. There really is the Cleveland Barons. I don't know if you would look up to those guys. Ohio State is a big hockey town, but it's mostly football. Why hockey? Growing up in Ohio, not really, you know, known for hockey, much like Minnesota or Boston or Michigan. Why hockey growing up? Why not football? Why not baseball?
I don't really know, honestly. And I played baseball growing up. I played soccer growing up as well. But I don't really know. You know, I couldn't tell you other than I just love doing it. Like, it started at just like going, taking some like ice skating lessons and like at open skates and free skates at the local arena. And then I think my parents might have just like put me into like hockey schools, and maybe that's how I got started playing. And then I saw there was like a goalie clinic or a goalie camp going on at the arena. And I was like, that's what I would like. I want to try that. And my parents were really great about not only my, like letting me do like kind of chase my dreams or things that I wanted to do as a kid, but also my younger brother and two younger sisters, like, you know, whatever we wanted to do, they were on board with us trying different things, as you know, as long as like we actually worked for it and worked towards it to try to get better. So yeah, like that was really it. I don't really know how I think it was just like, it started out just taking some skating lessons and then it progressed from there.
One of the things we talk about on the show with our guests, it's interesting to see like how different everyone's journey is to the NHL, and throwing it back even before you were drafted, you went to the OHL up in Canada instead of the NCAA route. Were you getting offers from schools? Like, how did you end up going the OHL instead of college?
Well, I had some interest in going to school, but I never really like wanted to. Like, I could have gone to school for sure. Like, absolutely 100%. I could have gone to school and and like done both school and hockey, but it didn't really interest me as much. And after like when I was 14, 15 and I moved to Detroit actually, to like Metro Detroit. And I played my last year of youth hockey up here. And I lived in Plymouth, kind of where we currently are right now. And, so I was going to a lot of Plymouth Whaler games and got to see like what junior hockey was like in that. And then our goalie coach for my youth team at the time, Stan Matwiv, he was also the goalie coach for the Plymouth Whalers. So that really kind of like tied in there. And then I got drafted by Plymouth that following summer. So it was kind of like the writing was on the wall, you know. I was like working with the goalie coach, skated with the team a handful of times, like I really wasn't getting much contact from schools at that point, honestly, because I think once I got drafted and whatnot, it kind of was like, there's really only one option at this point. And it did have a little bit more of an appeal as in terms of like a pro schedule. We played 68 games and, you know, we're traveling a little bit more. Obviously we didn't travel as far as some college teams would, but, you know, the schedule was a little bit more pro-like, it felt. So,
yeah. Those years in Plymouth, you guys, your first year, you had a pretty good team. You had a pretty good run. The next 2 years, you know, not so great, 500, not terrible, not good. Did you expect, what was your expectations heading into the draft? I was undrafted. That wasn't even on the radar for me. What was it like going into your draft year? Did you have any feelers like, oh, maybe first round, maybe second, maybe nothing at all?
You know, honestly, and I don't know if it sounds that this is like naive of me to say or whatever, but like, I never really thought about it as much, even like growing up as a kid. Like, oh, you obviously you grow up and you're like, I'd love to like play in the NHL and all that. But like when I remember like as a kid and like 10, 11, 12, 13, I'm like, I'm just like playing hockey. Like, I'm just trying to have fun and win games. And I'm just like, you know, if we win and I do well, like that's great. And I'm going to be able to keep playing, keep going on. And even in my 16-year-old year, in Plymouth, like, it's kind of more of the same thing. Like, I just wanted to play. I didn't start out with the team. I started out in the NA3 in the tier three North American League. I was playing games the first half of the season there. And then around Christmas or just after Christmas, I kind of like made the jump and started playing games with the Whalers. And then obviously, like you said, we had a really good team, a lot of first rounders, a lot of draft picks. We went on a little run there, fell up a little short, but like, it was just having fun. I was like, this is awesome. We're playing in London, Ontario in front of 10,000 people. Like, this is what like junior hockey is. It's like, and it was great. And even into my draft year, really not until after like Christmas, after like halfway through the year, it kind of hit me. I was like, all right, like we're, you know, like this is kind of getting a little serious. Like a lot of draft talk, like getting drafted is coming up. And I had been playing, started out a little slow, but I kind of picked it up at the end of the year. We weren't a great team at that time. But at the end of the day, it's just always like, even now, like I think about it, it's like, it's cool. It's so cool. It's cool to go play in all these different arenas and the lifestyle and the travel, we get to go to all these different cities is great. That's amazing. But like, once you get on the ice, it's like, and it's helped me so much to think of it this way. It's like, I'm still playing the same game I did when I was 12 years old. You know, it's at the end of the day, it's like, it's just a game, and it's helped me so much mentally just to think about it in a way that's like, there's no pressure, because there is none. The only pressure that is put on yourself is what you do, like the pressure that you have on for yourself, you know, like anything outside shouldn't be any pressure because it's got no control over what you do. So,
wow. I'm going to write that down after the podcast. That was amazing. You should do motivational speaks, Alex. Alex, no, that was really good.
No. I'm going to stick with just a little short 30, 40 second interviews, spats, and that's about it.
But you talk about no pressure. You talk about no expectations, but then you go out and you win like the Calder Cup with the AHL Charlotte Checkers. You make the all-star team. You're on the first team all-star. You all of a sudden transition that, you're on the way to fame. And I don't want to jump too far ahead of this, because before that, you were bouncing around East Coast AHL. That's tough. Like I played in the AHL for a while. I never got sent down to the East Coast. You obviously have a good mental mindset. How tough is it? Like, honestly, we saw it, you know, a few years ago with the goalie who played for Carolina. He was on the show. What was his name? Tim. He was in the East Coast, tough guy, taller. I can't remember his name, but he played for Chicago. Big tall goalie. Come on.
Oh, Alex. Yeah. I know you're talking
Justin
about
Justin Peters.
No. What's his name? He was on the show anyway. So.
Oh, Scott Darles.
Yeah. Darles. So yeah. It's not uncommon. Was it tough mentally? Like, I know goaltending is the most toughest position in hockey. You're on, you know, on an island by yourself. You take care of the game, either win the game or lose the game. It's all on you. Is it tough when you're in the East Coast, AHL, AHL East Coast? Like, what's going through your head? Do you think, like, I don't know. It's tough. Tell us about
it. It's a grind for sure. And even like when there is some sort of stability, like this year so far, or my second and third year when I was like full time in Charlotte, it's a grind. Like you're playing a lot of games in a short amount of time. And like my first year, for example, like it was more of physically it was taxing, flying back and forth, going different places, getting called up and whatnot. But like mentally, like 1 week, I'm in Charlotte. Then the next week I'm down in Florida with a completely new team and a new league. And like at that time, it was just, everything was so different. And then going back to Charlotte, going up to Carolina for a week, coming back down, like it was such a hectic lifestyle. And mentally, like I wasn't playing good on the ice either. So like, I wasn't enjoying the game really. Like it was tough. Like, and that's the worst part, was like, I wasn't having fun doing it. And getting frustrated, practices sucked, like I was no good. And every day it was just like going to the rink was like a chore. And it was like going to work. I wasn't like, you know, I had to go to work today instead of like, I get to go to the rink and I get to play a game for an hour and a half and practice and then whatever, you know, go play a game in front of 20,000 people tonight. Like, it was just a completely different mindset. And I didn't have like the mindset that I just mentioned earlier. Like, I didn't have that mindset my first year, or even really my second year. Like, I played better my second year for sure, but I was starting to get into that mind frame and that mindset of like, just have fun and just like play it as like play a game. Like, 'cause that's all we're doing.
Yeah.
And like, that's one, like that's helped me obviously. And everybody has to look at it their own way and do what they want to do. But I mean, you know, for me, it's like, I always say, it's like the less that I think about actually playing the game, like the better I am. 'Cause I'm just like, at that point, I'm just playing in it, and I've done it for so long and guys have done it for so long. It's just reactionary and it's instinct.
All right, Tim, we didn't do too well with the last points bet result. Now it's time to redeem yourself. What do you got for us now? Give us something.
My streak is over, although it doesn't officially count because Colorado, they got blasted by Toronto last night. I actually watched the game. But Kemper was hurt last minute. They dressed a backup. He lets in 8 goals. They couldn't pull him because they had an emergency backup behind him. Big asterisk on that.
Still lost.
Big asterisk. Okay. I'm going to bet for tonight's game, San Jose Sharks are playing in New York. I'm going to bet the over on 5.5 goals scored total.
And I like that.
I imagine New York will score, you know, 3 or 4, and see 2 or 3 coming from the other side. And yeah, over there.
I think we tentatively just ease into the betting again after the big defeat on Wednesday. So maybe don't bet the 401k, maybe just a little bit, you know, let's build some confidence back up.
Yeah. Just like my savings account or something.
Let's build it back up. So points bet, hammer the over. Sharks Rangers. Love it. Thanks everybody.
I want to ask about, you mentioned Cam Ward making your NHL debut, backing him up. And at this point in his career, he's already won a cup. He's won a Conn Smythe. He's been an all-star. I'm sure he was someone you looked up to. Did you get to spend much time with him? Did he take you under his wing at all? Did he kind of show you the ropes, or is it, you know, strictly business?
Oh, I didn't get to spend as much time as I wanted to with him. Honestly, I never, like my first year, I got called up once or twice for like, you know, maybe a total of like 7 days. And you know, there really wasn't much going on. I wasn't at the rink at that time. I was just trying to like not mess up, you know, I was just trying to like do everything right. Stay in my lane, so to speak. The next year, I actually didn't get called up my second year. I think it was him and Darles. Yeah. They were the healthiest two guys in the league. Like they didn't get hurt once. It was nuts. I was like, dang, like, obviously you don't want anybody to get hurt, but I was like, I started playing better and I was like, well, maybe I get an opportunity, you know, like I get a game here or there. But, and then my third year, After that, my third year, he moved on to Chicago. So I really only got to spend, you know, a few weeks at camp, getting to know him a little bit. And then, not much during the season, which is usually when you start bonding and really getting to know guys like on the road and at dinners and stuff like that. So I didn't get to know him as much as I wanted to. I definitely like that year that they won the Stanley Cup, that Carolina won the Stanley Cup and he won the Conn Smythe and all that. Like, that's the first Stanley Cup that I remember watching as a kid. And I always loved it. And I always enjoyed watching Carolina from that point on. Like funny enough, how it all worked out. So, you know, I wish I could have gotten to have a little bit better relationship with him, but I still have a decent one, I'd say.
So you bring in Jadeveon Clowney. This is the Cleveland Browns season, right? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers. Roethlisberger is not the same Roethlisberger. Baltimore Ravens don't really have a running game. This is the Browns season. What's going on with the Browns? I love it because I don't like Baker Mayfield very much. You kind of look like him, Alex.
No, boy.
Why are the Browns so bad? And mind you, they're 6-6. They squeak by the Ravens. Or no, the Ravens just beat them.
They threw four picks.
And somehow Cleveland doesn't capitalize. They squeak by the Lions, who are barely a good college team. What's going on? Why are the Cleveland Browns so bad, Alex? Can you give us an insight as to that? The answer to that question?
I'm just a fan. Like I'm almost a super fan, honestly. Like, okay. I watch every game. You know, wherever we are, whatever we got going on, I'm watching the game. So. I'm just a fan, and it's like, and it's really kind of bad because I'm so into it and I want to.
He's crying right now. He's crying, everybody. You can't see it. He's tearing up. It's uncomfortable.
It's just, I don't know. It's been a weird year. It's been a weird year for sure. There's been a lot of stuff away from the field that I think it's just like, we got to get back to playing football. Like I said, just play hockey. Like, don't worry about anything outside. Just play football, you know?
So we're not going to see you in any State Farm commercials anytime soon. Like Baker.
No, probably not. No.
All right. We don't need
to. It's progressive too.
Progressive. He even knows his sponsors, Tim. That's impressive. I'm a big Buffalo Bills fan. Tim's a diehard New England Patriots fan. So we got a big game tonight. We're going to be going watching that at Buffalo Wild Wings, maybe. But I just thought I'd bring that up because
that game tonight? That's not tonight.
It's Thursday night.
That's Monday night.
Yeah, right.
I thought it was Thursday.
Some Bills fan you are.
All right, we're not going out tonight, Tim. Never mind. We'll switch that till Monday. All right, let's get back to hockey. I just saw that, and I'm a big fantasy football guy too. And Odell,
my team. I started out 3-0 in our league this year. It's 3-0. I was feeling good about myself, and then I lost 7 straight games.
No.
Yeah, I lost 7 in a row. It's been terrible. I've won the last 2 weeks though. So I've crawled back into a playoff spot somehow.
Do you do a team, a league with the guys on the team?
Yeah.
Who's got the best team? Please tell me it's Mo Sider.
No, I don't. Mo didn't do it. I think Rasmussen he was at the top for a bit, and then Stalzi was at the top. It's kind of rotated between them two, and then Calvin Pickard's in it as well. He's been near the top. So those three have kind of run the league, but
I miss that. I don't miss playing hockey. I miss that. The Masters golf tournaments, the pools, this and that. All right, let's get back to you. This is all about you, Alex. You scored 2 goals. Why did you do that?
I've never been asked why. So I don't have really know how to answer that, but I mean, like, why not? Like, I mean, I enjoy playing the puck so much. Like, I watched Marty Brodeur, Marty Turco growing up. And they did it obviously better than almost anybody else. Obviously Marty was one of the best. I think, you know, that's why they made the trapezoid. I'm pretty sure it was because of Marty.
Yeah.
So like, you know, why not?
Were you ever worried about getting ran afterwards? Cause you're kind of embarrassing the other team. Ever cross your mind?
No, the only time I was like hesitant maybe is like if I went to the bench, you know, and like high fived all the guys after.
Yeah.
But I mean, the second time I scored, I went and I actually, like, you know, I went to the bench. I was like, screw it. Like
down the line, you
know, I was excited. I got to celebrate this one. So
I'm more of an old school traditionalist where I would have ran you.
I
had a men's league game this past Sunday and we were up healthy 6-2 and they pulled their goalie. It was still 4-2, 5-2. And I dumped the puck in the corner. Classy move. Yeah. I had a wide open net. I dumped it in. I even turned to their bench and I said, that's classy hockey, you know, pat myself on the back. Guy in my team hustles in the corner, stuffs it in the net, and like a full melee breaks out. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Yeah. You're just embarrassing the other team. All right, let's move on.
But okay. But it's not, listen, I play the puck more than anybody. Like I probably do, honestly. I run out to the corner and do it. So it's not my fault when you pull the goalie. It's not my fault when you pull the goalie and you shoot the puck at me. Like, if you don't want me to do it, don't give me the puck.
I agree. If it's a 4-1 game, are you still shooting that puck down the ice for the net?
Oh, absolutely. Like 4-1. Yeah. 4-1. Yeah. When we were in Boston, we were up 2-1 and they rimmed the puck and I stopped it behind the net. The only reason I didn't go for it was because I'm like, it's a one goal game. There's like 20 seconds left and we've played good. I'm not screwing this up trying to go for a goal right now. So
that would have been actually funny if you can do it. I agree. I've scored an empty netter up 4-1 one time back when Patrick Waugh, he would pull the goalie, they'd be down 6-1 and he'd pull it with like 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, jackpot. I'm jumping on the ice to get a point here. But all right, let's keep this train rolling here. Okay. You got called up, you got called down, you nominated for the Calder, you made the NHL. You're playing great in Carolina. Things are going great. You got a young, exciting team. You got Sebastian Aho. You got Svechnikov. You got Tuivo Teravainen. You got Dougie Hamilton. You got all the pieces, right? You're flying. Things are going great. This is Stanley Cup. Boom. We're going to win the Stanley Cup in the Carolina. They bring greatness back to the franchise. Rod the Bod's flexing the locker room. Everything's great. What happens? You go into the offseason, you're an RFA. Do you just go into the GM's office and say, open up the piggy bank, buddy boy, Alex needs to get paid? Is that what happened? And he traded you?
No, that's not what happened.
Rod wasn't flexing.
No, uh-huh. Roddy just finished his workout when we had our exit meetings, but he wasn't flexing. No, No, Roddy's a great guy, great coach. I always thought he was very upfront with me about things, but I don't know. They have I didn't really talk much. I did our exit meetings with Rod. I met with Don Waddell before I left after the season. And things seemed like, you know, like, I kind of knew where things stood at that time. I knew it wasn't going to be really smooth. I was like, they're going to start at one extreme. We're going to start at another, right? Like everybody would.
Yeah.
And we're going to find a way to meet in the middle. Eventually we're going to find a way to meet in the middle. So, you know, then even I was talking to my agent on the way home, like, you know, this is going to be slow. It's going to be a process. And I'm like, yeah, that's like, eventually we're going to get there. So I like really didn't have, I wasn't worried about it. I was just like, you know, all right, let's, you know, just enjoy the summer, get ready for, another year and another solid run. Like you said, they have a lot of pieces that like, they have a really good team.
Yeah.
And I was excited to be a part of like a really good cup contending team, especially in my first years in the league. And then all of a sudden one day I got a call and it was like Detroit, wants to trade for you. And then this is, you know, the this is the offer, this is the deal that they want to give you, and what do you think? And I was like, yeah, like, duh, like, yes, like, because at that time, the last that I heard, we had heard from Carolina was like 2 years at 1.5, I think, 2 years at 1.5 or 1.8. Obviously not really a big difference, but like that was the last we had heard from him. And we were coming back at like 2 years at 3.5, something, or even like a year at 3.5, I think was, we were okay to, I was okay to do a year. But yeah, like I, that was maybe on like a Monday or Tuesday. We had last heard from Carolina. And then the next thing I know is we're getting traded. And I was like, all right. And then we found out it was from Detroit, and we've been living here for, I've spent the summers here in Detroit for almost close to 10 years training in the off season. So it's basically home. So I was like, this, like, it's perfect. Like my family's 2.5 hours away. My wife's family is a few hours away. It just makes too much sense. So we were very excited, obviously, when we found out what was going to happen. So
that's, it's such a bizarre thing though. When a team, you guys were successful in Carolina, you have two good goaltenders and they gas you both, right? And then they bring in a guy though. And then Freddie Anderson signs for 4 or 5 there for 2 years. And Antti Raanta signs for 2 years at 2 million. And I'm guessing you would have taken 2 years at 2.2, 2.3 to stay in Carolina. Does it ever irk you to look back? It's like, well, then you give these guys a stinking money. Mm-hmm. Like what's going on? They're 6 years, 7 years older than me. Come on, Don.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. I try not to think about it too much anymore. And just, you know, cause it's done, it's over with. And,
yeah.
And I have no hard feelings like towards them. I love that group of guys in the locker room. And we were actually, when we played in Vegas, they had played the night that we got in and they stayed the night as well. So I got to see a handful of the guys out and catch up with them a bit. And we're going there in like 2 weeks, I think we play them. So it'll be cool to go back. But I don't really know, honestly, like what happened or what the thought process was behind it. Like I understand, you know, it was whatever, small sample size. Like I'd only played 30 games up to that point, but I don't know. I look around the league and there's guys that are getting more that have gotten paid more money than I did. And they've played 5-10 more games than I have. Like there's guys that are getting paid like 3 times what I was hoping to get paid. And they've played maybe a season and a half. And I'm like, so, you know, I was like, I didn't think what I was asking for was much, but I don't know. It's a business. It's a business at the end of the day. And I think that's what people like don't realize sometimes, is that as much as it is a game, especially us as players, it's like, as much as it is a game, and I'm starting to realize it now too, after, especially this last summer, like these owners got to make a bit, like it's a business for them. It's not really a game. It's how to make money.
Well, you know, we'll take a break from Alex's interview right now because I have a hankering for some pizza, a Detroit style pizza. Apropos talking with Alex Nedeljkovic, I'm going to go to DoorDash. I'm going to order myself up some Detroit style pizza. It's going to be delicious. Sauce is on the top. It's crazy. It's thick. It's delicious. It's beautiful. And DoorDash is the only place I'm going to do that because they get it to me. They get it to me hot. They get it to me fast. So if you're listening to this right now, you need to do the same. Go to DoorDash.com. Use your phone, use your iPad, use your app, use your computer. I don't care how you do it. Go to DoorDash, enter promo code GlovesDDUS. If you're in the US of A, if you're in Canada, enter promo code GlovesDD. Get 25% off. Get free delivery. Get yourself some Detroit style pizza. You will not be upset that you did. Now back to the interview. I'm sure Alex has had lots of Detroit style pizza. So you mentioned, obviously, you're happy to go to Detroit. It's a completely different setup where you're leaving a team that's earmarked for the Stanley Cup, Carolina. Like when everyone, who's our Stanley Cup favorites this year? Oh, it was the Islanders. It's Carolina. It's Toronto, Edmonton, blah, blah, blah. You go to Detroit. You know, they've been hot garbage for the better part of a decade. I'll be honest. No expectations at all, right? You know, they're just trying to get through this year. That's the sense. All of a sudden, Stevie brings in you. He brings in a Nick Leddy. He re-signs Mark Stahl. You know, you get these young kids. We mentioned him, Raymond, Moritz Seider. things are starting to come together a little bit. Can you sense from being on a team in Carolina where they've already, you know, found their game, they've already established what that team is now? Do you see the same kind of progression happening in Detroit now? And it's happening a lot faster than I think other people realized it was going to happen.
Yeah, I think you can definitely see the progression there and just the way, but even like this year and from the start of the year to where we are now, and I know it's only been 20 some odd games, but like just to see guys grow as individuals like Mo and Razor. But like you mentioned, like expectations, like outside of the organization, like, yeah, you know, you see it all the time. The expectations in three to four years, we're going to be a legit cup contending team. Well, that's not the case inside the locker room and inside the building. Like we know the kind of guys that we have in that locker room. And I don't want to say like we're a top team in the league. Cause
you can say it.
I think I could say it, but I think we have a long way to go till we're, you know, top up there with like Tampa Bay set the standard these last few years. You know, we have a long way to go till we're Tampa Bay, but that doesn't mean that we don't expect to be right there with them at the end of the year. Like we expect to be a playoff team. And I think we're in the playoff spot right now. So, you know, like why, and for guys, it's like, it doesn't make any sense for you to come in and just be like, oh, we're not going to, like, nobody thinks we're going to be a playoff team. So what, it doesn't matter. It's like, in 3 to 4 years, half the guys in that locker room might not even be here. So it doesn't benefit them anything right now to quote, like, waste a year of their career to not try to win, you know, like anything can happen. So you might as well try if you don't, you know, like the worst, I think the worst thing that you can do is go through something half, like give half effort, or don't work for it, or like don't prepare, or don't give everything you got, and then look back on it, and then you're like, well, I wish I would have at least like done more and been more into it and enjoyed it more, because you can't really enjoy it if you're not working for it. Like it doesn't add up to me. It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. If we make the playoffs, it's going to be great. But if we miss, you know, it's going to suck. But like we tried and we made it interesting, and who knows? Maybe we keep somebody else from making the playoffs. You know, you never know. Like
the Bruins, Tim's favorite team. That'd be unbelievable. Exactly. Now I've been on teams where they set the bar low, and I agree. Where it's like, okay, we're, you know, this is a regrouping year. We're gonna, you know, we're going for a high draft, and it's just like, why? Then the expectations are so low, the players don't even want to try because we're expected to lose every game. It's like, well, what's the point? So I totally understand that.
Yeah, if you're an older guy, what's the benefit for you? If you have two more years, like what's the benefit for you to come in last place and get this first overall pick? Like this kid's not playing. You're not going to play with this kid. You're never going to meet this guy.
You know? I remember I was a free agent 1 year, and Edmonton called me, and they had just drafted Taylor Hall, and they were all set. They're going to have the first overall pick again, I think. And they said, we'll sign you for a 2-year deal, John. We're very excited. Our team's going to be good. Like in 3 years, we're going to be really competitive. And I'm like, well, why are you offering me a 2-year deal? I don't understand how this works. And I turned him down, probably a mistake, but I went to Chicago, worked out okay. But it's just funny how, I agree. Win now, go for it, set the bar high. So you get traded. Go ahead.
So I was like, so that's what Roddy did when he took over as coach in Carolina. Like that was the first thing he said in like our meeting at training camp, was like the bar's not even in the picture. The bar was set for that organization, you know, way low. Mm-hmm. Like you don't even have to lift your foot to step over it. He's like, we need to put that bar up here. And like, that's gotta be our expectation. That's gonna be our standard and our goal as an organization, as a team, as a group, to play and to perform and to act a certain way. And it changed immediately. The culture in that locker room switched like that. And obviously like he's great. I think he's a Hall of Famer. Like he's a great leader. Obviously he was a great captain. He's doing it now as a head coach. Like it changes like that. And that you have to look at it. If you don't look at it like that, like you have, like your expectations are up here, then you're never going to get there. You're not even going to come close to this point. So,
well, who sets the bar in Detroit then? Is it Blashill? Is it Stevie Y? Is it Larkin? Is it you? Who's in the locker room going, not good enough, boys? Like, we're better than this.
Well, I like, I think it's from top to bottom. When Stevie came, I think he's got a plan for it. He's got a vision for everything, right? But mm-hmm. I mean, he said the same thing. He's like, he comes in that it was the same thing. He's like, in training camp, you know, I expect to go out there. I expect us to compete and to do well and to win games. And it was the same thing. Like for like Blash talking to us, and we're like, we take every, you know, like we play the season in like little 5-game segments, right, to try to break it down a little bit, so we're not looking too far ahead. And he's like, if we, you know, as long as we win this many games or we have this many points in a segment, you know, we're technically a playoff team based by like whatever the analytics say. So, you know, like looking at ways like that. And he's like, we want to be a playoff team. And Larks, definitely from Larks and Gags and Stalzi, like guys that have been in the league a long time and that have had success, like, but they want to bring it here. You know, they've been through the downs these last few years with this team, and they want to get back to winning. And then for me personally, like, you know, nobody wants to lose. Like nobody wants to be on a last place team or on a basement team. Like you want to win. It's way more fun winning games. Doesn't matter how you win games. Like as long as you win the game, the vibe in the locker room is way better. And the feeling around everybody is way better.
So you're splitting time with Thomas Greiss right now, pretty much 50-50. How do you go about that? Does the coach bring the calendar out to you? Okay, boys, here's December. We're going to go bing, 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 bing. And Thomas, you get ding, dong, ding, dong.
No, it's different. Like I would assume every coach, every goalie coach has their way of like going through it. And obviously at the start of the year, Greister and I were going back and forth every game, and it made sense. Like coming in, you know, get us both games under our belt, like get us into the season, get into a little bit of a rhythm there. And we played a lot of games too. I think we had played 20 games in like 38 days.
Yeah.
Like something absurd. So we were playing a lot. So there really wasn't an opportunity to kind of play 3-4 in a row without playing maybe a back-to-back and then 3-4 games in 4 or 5 nights. So it just didn't make sense at the time. Obviously getting an opportunity now, this last week to play 3-4 games in a row. I think it was 4 games in a row. It's like, just, it was nice for me to get into a rhythm and just having conversations and communication with the coaching staff and just saying like, hey, you know, you're doing good. Like just keep doing what you're doing. Right. Like there's no reason to change anything. You're having success. So the easiest thing to do when you have success is to stop doing what's made you successful. Right.
Let me write that one down too. Hold on. No, it's totally true.
It is though. Right. Like you get, sometimes you can get a little complacent, you can get a little comfortable and I'm not going to foam roll today, or I'm not going to ride the bike for 5 minutes for my warm up. Like I'm going to do a quick little mini band series and then hop on the ice. Or like, I'm going to sleep in an extra half hour today instead of coming into the rink and doing my routine. So it's like, that's the easiest thing to do is just get complacent and comfortable. And, you know, as a professional, you can't do it. And it's, for me, it's like, I've worked so hard to get to this point now in my career. I don't want to waste it. Like just by getting comfortable, like not that I can't be comfortable and still do the things that made me successful. Like I can still be comfortable, but not arrogant, complacent, and just lazy.
At the expense of your performance. Yeah. Makes sense.
Exactly.
Makes sense. Well,
one of the biggest stories in Detroit so far this year has obviously been the two rookies. They're the two front runners for the Calder. We mentioned Mo Sider. We had him on the show. It seems like Raymond's getting on the scoreboard almost every single night. For people who don't get to watch him, you know, every single night like you do, like how talented are these kids, and how fun is it to watch them do what they do every night?
It's awesome. It's such a treat, really.
It's terrible. It sucks.
well, last night it was like, it was so cool. Like we obviously wanted a shootout, but in overtime, just the buzz and the excitement in that building, like especially the one time, like Mo picked up the puck in overtime at like our top of the circles, our blue line. And he like started skating up with the head of speed, like leading the rush. And you could just feel like it more so than when anybody else did it. Like, there was like this buzz, this like, oh my God, Mo's got the puck. Mo's going to do something special here. Like it was so cool. And, And those guys, like, they get it. Like, they come into the rink and they work and they love being there. Like, Razor's out every morning, you know, like every day, not taking an option. He's on the ice working at it, like having fun, enjoying it. Mo's, I was talking to somebody, like, Mo gets, like, he's getting pissed when they, like, they had a short shift, or like he's already, like, you can see it in games, like he's into it, he's pumped up, like he acts like he's been in the league for four or five years. Like, this guy, just, he's a competitor, he wants to win and, like, do whatever he can to win. And I think those two guys are going to be a big part of this organization moving forward and for a long time.
Very true. So we'll get away from the Red Wings just a little bit. The Olympics are around the corner. It's going to be very exciting. Do you have, you know, USA's got a deep goaltending bench. They got Hellebuck, Johnny Gibson, Thatcher Demko. Why is no one saying your name? Where's Alex Nedeljkovic in the picture?
It's probably because I'm only 6 feet tall.
Is that why you're not tall enough, do you think? They got a height limit?
I don't know. I know that there is some height there's like some discrimination towards, like, based on your height.
Yeah. Really.
Like, discrimination is not the right word.
But no, people see the ideal goalie as a certain height. It went like that for years.
There's like, between 6'2" and 6'4" is like the ideal height to be a goalie. Anything higher or less. Yeah. So bias. It's like, bias. I don't know. Like, obviously, like, Hellebuck's a Vezina winner. Gibson's had an incredible career in an Anaheim team that really hasn't been that great since his first few years in the league. But he's still been one of the better goalies in the league on a bad team. It says a lot. And then obviously Thatch had a great college career. Good. He's played with USA Hockey for a number of years, wherever it was, at Worlds or with the NTDP. So, like, there's history there, and there's history with those three guys. And I mean, I'm just trying to do my thing, just kind of get my name out there. And
now, you won a gold medal, 18 and under US. Yeah. You won a bronze World Juniors. Don't sell yourself short.
Yeah, no. I'm not. I just, you know, like, it's something that's, like, out of my control. Like, is if I make that team. Obviously, if I don't play well, like that, like, for me, performing, like, that's what I can control, right? If I play well, and if I'm doing well, and they choose to go a different direction, I'll say that's on them. And
is on them. Be a mistake.
You know, like, it'd be a huge honor and an incredible opportunity to represent my country. It's something that I'd love to do. And I hope that I can get an opportunity to do at some point. I love going to World Juniors and the under 18s. And it was awesome. Awesome wearing the red, white, and blue and the sweater. You know, everybody gets to do it, you know, and it's on a world stage at that point. It's not just a national stage, it's a world stage. So it'd be something cool to do.
What is in your control is, in 2 weeks, when you go to Carolina, there'll be a chance to go to the board and grab the marker, put a little number up there. What can we expect?
There's no board in that locker room, that visitor's locker room. I know that locker room really well.
You're going to write something somewhere. It's going to be, what can our listeners expect Alex Nedeljkovic to throw on the board when he goes to Carolina, the team that didn't want him, the team that wouldn't pay him. And now he's got a lot of zeros in his bank account. What do we expect? What are the boys going to be jacked up when you write that number? What are we going to look at here, Alex? Come on.
Well, there'll be a few pizzas up on the board. That's for sure.
Pizzas?
Yeah. A few pizzas for the post game. That's for sure.
Oh, there better be a couple of zeros in a team dinner. Hopefully.
I don't know about team dinner. You got to slow down there. maybe a few zeros up there. I don't know. We'll see.
I like that. That's good. Well, our guests here, we usually do a rapid fire to wrap it up. I know Tim enjoys it. The listeners enjoy it. I enjoy it. Kind of less hockey related questions. So Tim, why don't you lead Alex down the rapid fire road here?
All right. Just quick answers. Favorite movie?
Lord of the Rings.
Oh,
good answer. Love that. Pizza or tacos?
Pizza.
Favorite sport besides hockey?
Watching football, playing soccer.
Nice. Favorite vacation spot?
I'll say Arizona, Scottsdale.
Who's the hardest player to stop from scoring? Who's the toughest opponent?
I guess I'd have to say McDavid.
Has he scored on you?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a badge of honor.
Too many times.
Nice time.
Are you binging any shows right now?
No.
You mentioned gaming. What games do you like to play?
I haven't played in a while, but I played Fortnite for a bit, Call of Duty, Apex, Rainbow Six.
All the big ones.
Yeah.
All right, last question. What's the best advice you ever got?
Wow.
There's so much. There's so many great things that people have told me. The best thing, that I've said it already, it's like control what you can control. I mean,
that's it.
Like, you can't do anything else. Control what you can control. And, you know,
the rest will take care of itself.
Yep.
I think that's perfect advice, especially these days when there's so much out there. The world's so big, but it's not really. Focus on your house. Keep your house in order and everything will work out.
Exactly.
That's what I tell my kids every day, Alex. Do you know I have 6 kids? Did you know that?
I did not know.
No, you know, see, you know a little bit about me. I have 6 kids and I don't have a TV. Just
I'm going to go tell my wife 6 kids. You know, I want a big family.
You want one?
Not so much. I want a big family.
Check in with me next year. We might have more. Right. We'll see. When you come up to Traverse, bring your wife up to Traverse City. We'll show her what she's missing out on. Exactly. But anyways, I'll let you go, man. I know you got a day off. You probably got to go play with the dog and hang out with the wife. We really appreciate you joining the show. Thank you. Good luck this year, man. This has been great.
Yeah, no, thank you guys for having me. It's been fun.
All right. Thank you. Alex Nedeljkovic, everybody. Catch him on the Detroit Red Wings. At a TV near you. Anyways, I hope everybody has a good weekend. We'll talk to you next week. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.